Reformed Church.
Jesus did provide us life, and we know that unless we teach people about the life of God that they have on the inside of them, as far as believers are concerned, then they can't manifest that. They can't experience it in their life. Unless we teach people the fact that Jesus provided healing, he provided resurrection for the dead, he provided immortality, all of that is just different aspects of the life of God that he's put on the inside of every believer. But if we don't teach on it and we're not showing people what they have in Christ, then they can't experience it and they're not going to exhibit that in their life, despite the fact that they have it on the inside of them. But 2 Peter 1 says that the Lord has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Then that means that godliness, as long as it's taught correctly, and it's not taught as a work, but it's taught as a provision of Jesus that he provided us and a gift that we already have inside of us as believers, as long as you teach godliness the same way you would teach healing, as long as you teach godliness the same way that you would teach the life of God or resurrection, that it's not a work that we do of ourselves, right? We don't teach healing here as a work that you have to do. We teach it as something that Jesus provided that you can receive by faith. Godliness should be taught exactly the same as the life of God. But it also, though, all the same principles that go for the life of God, when we talk about healing and we teach people about what Jesus provided and by his stripes you were healed, and we understand that we have to tell you, right? And we have to tell other people about this good news, otherwise they can't experience it. But the same thing goes for godliness then. If Jesus also provided godliness, then people are not going to walk in the godliness that Jesus provided unless they know, one, that he did provide it and that it's living on the inside of them. And what is that godliness that the Lord provided? There's a lot of people that I think we take for granted that understand the godliness that Jesus provided us. Remember, even the things that, you know, I want to talk about today, I'm not talking about something that is a work for you to do for God or something for you to try to do for God, but something for you to believe that you have in Christ, for you to get accustomed to the kingdom that you're of, to get accustomed to how that kingdom works. And as we believe these things, we therefore exhibit these things. But we have to know the way the kingdom of God works where we're from. If you don't understand those things, then we're making it pretty hard for God to exhibit these things through us if we don't understand the various things that we have in Christ. For instance, even Paul explaining the fruit of the Holy Spirit and explaining that it's love and joy and peace and patience. Well, you know what? Now that we know those things, we can believe that if we say something that's rude or hateful to somebody else, we can say, you know what? I have love on the inside of me, and you can believe the contrary. You don't have to believe in that thing, that's really your new nature. The same way that if you don't feel good at any particular time, you can say, you know what? No, I don't receive that in my mind. I don't believe that that's of me. I believe rather that Jesus healed me. Well, if we didn't know, for instance, that Jesus provided love to us, you would say something or do something or see something, a particular kind of trait in your life or lack of virtue in your life, and rather than say, no, I don't receive that, same like with sickness, right? Oh, no, I don't receive that into my heart. You know, I don't believe that that's of me. I believe rather that I have the love of God on the inside of me. If you didn't know you had love on the inside of you, you'd look at something that you said or something that someone else said, and you would say, oh, I'm perfectly justified. Well, you know what? They said something to me, so, you know, I said this to them, and like you would feel justified in what you were doing if you didn't know the traits you have on the inside of you. Again, if we teach life, we have to teach godliness as well. It's a provision that Jesus gave us. So let me just show you something without even really getting to the exact point that I want to make ultimately just yet. And look at Romans 2:6. Romans 2:6. So I'm going to try to be as brief with this as possible. So this is the way I was thinking about this when preparing for this. God has been hiring people for a particular job for a long time. This particular job, there's a lot of different titles that you can put on it, but the particular job, we can say, you know, being kings and priests with Jesus, being rulers with Jesus, having the same standing as Jesus. This is something that the Lord has been offering to people for a very long time, right? We know that as believers, we have received that job, that position. We have received, we've been hired, so to speak, for this position that God has offered to everybody. Now, the only thing that job entails, the only thing in the job description, is to believe in God's Son. We know that, right? So the only requirement that God is putting out there for people to be hired for this job is that you need to believe in His Son. Seeing as the job description is just faith, anyone that believes gets the job, right? That's how God hires people to be rulers with Him, rulers with His Son. Again, kings and priests, as I just said before, that's how He hires people, because The job description is just believe my son. Therefore, if you believe his son and you meet the requirements, you're hired. That's how God employs people, you could say, right, if you want to use those terms. Romans 2:6 says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now, this is a very, very long explanation I could give on this, which I won't. The deeds he's talking about here is not talking about like your actions outwardly. This is actually talking about the deeds of your mind, you could say. If you've heard of our obedience of faith teaching, you already know that the new covenant deed that God wants us to do is faith. That's why John 6, Jesus says, this is the work of God, to believe on him whom God sent. So the deeds here is really talking about people's belief or unbelief. But you can see that God gives to every man according to whether he believes or whether he doesn't believe. That is what that's talking about when it says deeds there. It's not talking about God gives to every man because, you know, every man is going to be held accountable for the adultery and the fornication and the stealing and the killing that they do. There's a lot I could say about that, but you're going to have to listen to our obedience of faith teaching for more on that. So let's just take that for now. God will render to every man according to whether he believes or whether he does not believe. But it makes sense, right? Because the job description is faith. That's the job description. If you want to be and receive everything that Jesus has, then you just have to believe his son. And therefore, if that's the job description, then God simply says, I'm going to judge as to whether you believe or whether you don't believe. I'm not going to judge you on anything else. I'm going to judge whether you believe my son or whether you don't believe my son. Why? Because that's the law he gave. That's the requirement he gave. It's the standard he set. And that's what is needed for the job. Right? So God put that out there. And it's just fair that if I put that out there, if I'm the Lord and I put that out there and I say, here's my law, here's the job description, then and it's just faith, then those that believe get hired. And those that don't believe don't. Right? That's how receiving from God works and receiving his position. If you want the position, that's what you have to do. And therefore it makes sense that he says he'll render to every man according to his faith or unbelief. That's what that's talking about. Furthermore, Acts 10:34. This is really simple, godly morality. And hopefully everybody is in agreement with that, right? I know that us here, we certainly are, but hopefully even everyone online is in agreement with that as well. That's how the gospel works. The Bible says even when Jesus comes back, it says, will he find faith on the earth? That's all he's looking for. He's looking for someone to believe his son, right? So with that said, Acts 10:34, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him, in other words, the one that respects God and keeps his commandments, which we know what that commandment is, right, in the new covenant faith, but it says that in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness, does the right thing by God, is accepted with him. Now again, to fear God is to keep his commandments and to respect him. That is a truth that I can't explain right now. It's, and he that works righteousness. Again, that's not talking about deeds that you do, like your actions, because the Bible says that nobody can be justified by the works of the law. You can't be justified before God or accepted by him, as it says here, by the you know, actions that you do. That's been proven already by the law. Acts chapter 7, says clearly by Stephen that those that have received the law have not kept it. Right? That is plain. So the works righteousness here, again, is talking about faith. But notice here that it's saying that anyone from any nation, God doesn't care what nation you're from any nation, you can be any color, therefore, any ethnicity. God does not regard your ethnicity when he's hiring you, okay? If you can see where I'm coming from right now. God does not regard your ethnicity. He doesn't regard your nationality when he's hiring you. It says if you work righteousness, in other words, if you do the right thing, if you meet the standard that I've set forth, which is faith in my son, then you're hired. That's how God hires people. Furthermore, in verse 34, just go to the previous verse again. The end of verse 34, it says, God is no respecter of persons. What does that mean? That God doesn't respect you based on your person. Well, in this context, very clearly, go to the next verse, which is actually a continuation of this very sentence. God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation. In every nation. So when he says he's no respecter of persons, it means that he's not a respecter of what nation you're from, what your flesh looks like, because God doesn't respect your ethnicity to hire you. In every nation, anyone that fears him and does the job description gets hired. Doesn't matter what nation you're from. This has the direct correlation to what we'd call diversity in the world today. Actually, it's not just an American thing. It's very much a Western thing. But diversity is a thing that people do when hiring people. And you just saw, right? All the truth that I just laid out for you on how God hires people for his kingdom, how God hires people to be ruler with him. There is a job that God wants to hire everybody for, and there's a job description, which is faith. And therefore, anyone that meets that requirement gets hired, and he is no respecter of what nation you are from. He is no respecter of that. What is popular today, if you're not familiar with this, if you follow politics or the news, you know, at all, you will have heard that word before, diversity. But the reason why I'm sharing this is because a lot of Christians have the wool pulled over their eyes because of the way that diversity is presented. Diversity is not a godly way to hire people. It is not a godly way of doing things in society. This is what diversity is, generally speaking. Diversity is not picking people strictly based off of their qualification. This is a diversity. Even companies now, it's popular to have a thing called diversity, equity, and inclusion, or to have people that are in charge of that in a company when hiring people. And I'm not taking all the equity and inclusion part, but mostly just the diversity part today. Diversity is something that people will do where instead of strictly hiring people based off of their qualification for the job description, right, like God does, they will hire people based on your skin color or gender or other things as well, but especially your skin color, especially race. And I don't know how that doesn't sound like it's flirting with racism already, but that aside right now, they will do that. And again, we hear diversity and you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Everybody should be included. But when they say diversity, they don't mean everybody has the opportunity to get the job, because God believes in that. He said of any nation, everybody can get an opportunity to work for the Lord. In other words, to believe his son. That's the work he requires. Anyone gets that opportunity. But diversity is not equal opportunity for everybody, but the best man gets the job, or best woman, or whatever, right? God forbid we miss that. So it's not, diversity is not everybody gets an equal opportunity to get the job. Diversity actually means that companies have quotas that, despite the fact of who is qualified and who is not, or who is best for the job, there is a quota. We have to have X percentage of black people or brown people or Asian people or women or men to work for this particular job. For instance, our vice president today, not to be controversial, but this is the truth, our vice president today was chosen because of her skin color. Literally, and I'm not making this up, our president today said, he said this out of his mouth, that he was going to pick a black woman to be vice president. What that is, it's already a preconceived notion. Now, granted, he has the legal right to pick whoever he wants, right? So I'm not saying he doesn't have that right. We're talking about morality. We're talking about how society should work. We're not talking about what is legal. He didn't do anything wrong legally by doing that. He can pick whoever he wants. And maybe he thought that that would be most accommodating or the best thing to do for his base or to get voted in or something like that. But so that's his business. But he did say that he was going to pick a black woman. Now, what he should have said is, I'm going to pick whoever's qualified. And if it's a straight white male or if it's a black woman or whoever it is, whoever's qualified of any nation, I will hire someone, obviously not nation in this particular case, but someone of any ethnicity, I will hire them as long as they are qualified for the job. Because you know what? The America does best when the most qualified people in any nation does best when the most qualified people are put in positions that they are qualified for, period. No other, you know, prerequisites required, right? That's how it should work. But diversity says, despite qualification, we have to pick a certain amount of people of a particular race or gender for a job in order just to have a variety of skin colors or genders, just simply because people do, I mean, I'm not going to go into all the reasons for that. People do believe because it is true, right, that minorities, for instance, in this country, it is a truth, right? Regardless of your political background, this is a truth regardless. Minorities have been oppressed and have been mistreated in the past in this country, right? And as much as there's probably still, I know for a fact, still personal racism, where people, you know, there are racists out there. That is of a certainty. The Bible says that the works of the flesh are hatred, so that means everybody, black, white, brown, or anything in between, has the capability of hating other people for various reasons, right? So the Bible says that in Galatians chapter 5, without dispute, there will be people, there will be people that will, there will be people that will hate other people for a variety of reasons, one of them, of course, being race, but not limited to that. So I know there's racism out there, but what people do is, we're going to hire a certain quota of black people, brown people, or women, or whatever it is, because they have been oppressed in the past. And I could go into that even right now, because contrary to popular opinion, your gender or your race is not an indication of your lived experience, okay? You cannot judge someone by their skin color, whether they have been oppressed or not, or whether they have been downtrodden or not. There are black celebrities and there are poor white people. That is a fact, right? That is a statistical fact. Whatever the quantity of those people may be is beside the point. That is a fact. You cannot judge by someone's appearance, but judge with righteous judgment, right? You cannot judge by someone's appearance whether they have been oppressed or whether they've been downtrodden or whether they have been privileged. There are very privileged black people that have been born into very wealthy families that are good looking, that have a great personality, that have been favored in different industries. And there are white people that are perhaps unattractive, don't have good personalities, born into broken families, born into, you know, where there was drug and alcohol abuse, born among gang violence, all this, right? Those are facts. Again, you can debate as to what the quantity of those people may be, whether it's a majority or minority or whatever, but those are all facts. Therefore, you cannot judge by appearance. You must judge with righteous judgment. And when you tell an entire race, because you, just writ large, are all oppressed, and or you've all been downtrodden, therefore we need to give you a chance at my company by, not by qualification, not by, hey, if everyone happened to be the most qualified and they were all black and brown people, great, then have everyone be black and brown at that company if they're the most qualified. But that's not what we do in this country or in the Western world as a whole. We do this thing called diversity, and that's not the way God hires people. God has job descriptions. He hires you based on your qualification for that description in the job. Can you do the job? That is how society is benefited the most, is when the most qualified people are the doctors. Not because you were black or brown, you were accepted, therefore, into a college, because colleges also today have this thing called affirmative action. And that means, this is an actual thing in the country that you live in, that there are colleges that say, we have one standard for SAT scores for Asians, and we have the highest score for them. We have a slightly lower one for white people and a lower standard for black and brown people. That means that someone can have a much lower SAT score and be black or brown and get into a college and beat out someone that was Asian because they have, generally speaking, higher SAT scores, right? And so people will say, oh, no, we'll accept more black and brown people because we want diversity. We want a variety of skin colors, even though a skin color has nothing to do with their academic success. And yet they'll be accepted based on skin color rather than based off their qualification for the college. And when you start doing things based on skin color, you know that that is how things used to be before the civil rights movement, 1960s and all of that, and I have a dream and all that stuff, right? People were excluded or included for various activities based on their skin color. And don't think we're not doing it again with this diversity thing. When you are included or excluded, if a black person or a brown person is accepted or hired, even though somebody that was white or Asian, say, was maybe more qualified for the job, you have exhibited a kind of segregation or racism by excluding someone based on their skin color. Because every person that you hire for diversity's sake, if they weren't the most qualified, now if they're the most qualified, fine, but then that means you're hiring them because of qualification, not skin color. But every person that you hire based on skin color, if they weren't the most qualified person, means that there was another person that was more qualified for the job, perhaps did more to get there, did more to earn it, did more and was more in line with the job description that you excluded based on their skin color. We can use the word inclusion, but every time you use the word inclusion, always know that when you do something to include someone that doesn't deserve the job, you're also simultaneously excluding someone that did. And that's not how society should work. It should be merit-based according to the job description, okay? That's how it should work. God does not favor one nation or another, contrary to popular belief. Even when God chose the Jewish nation to be heralds of the gospel, it was not because he was respecting a nation. He only chose them because of the faith of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they met the job description. And God didn't choose the Jewish nation in order to favor a particular nation. He only chose them to bring that gospel to everybody else. And even of that Jewish nation, you can read all through the Old Testament. If anyone of that Jewish nation did not meet the job description of faith, God rejected them concerning his inheritance. And any Jew or Gentile, Rahab, Naaman, any Gentile, even in the Old Testament, that believed and met the job description, God hired them. Always. Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter who you were. If you were of faith and you were a Gentile in the Old Testament, God still accepted you, despite the fact that he did choose the Jewish nation to herald that. The Jewish people are not favored by God because they're Jewish, and they never have been. They never have been. This is why they actually went through so much torment and punishment under the Old Testament, because many of them rejected God's covenant in different ways that I won't get into right now. People have always been accepted or rejected for the job based on the job description, okay? And we need to be hiring the most qualified people, not for the sake of having a certain skin color or a certain quota of a skin color in, you know, our company or whatever that may be, or in a movie or whatever it is, right? Diversity is not the way that God does things. He does not respect people of a particular nation or ethnicity. Anyone that meets his job description is in. That's the way that works. And you know what? I had a couple more verses to read to you, but I'm going to have to stop right there because we're already right up to the... But I hope just you guys see, I want to show you how God does things, and then we can apply it to politics, we can apply it to this, but I'm not getting political. I'm getting moral and speaking about the godliness that Jesus provided. I'm not getting political. This is a truth in your Bible that I'm just presenting. This is how God does things. And when you know how God does things and you look at our politics, you can choose for yourself which political party or which politician suits that particular principle the best, right? I will leave that to you. You can look at, in the upcoming elections, you can look at, say, which one fits that the best, and I will leave that to you, right? And you can choose for yourself. But now you've been told how God does things, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.